I wanted to minister and teach this morning and do some reminders about faith. When we came 35 years ago, one of the things that I felt the Lord was saying to Diane and I was his people were hurting, and he wanted us to bring him his word so that he could help his people out. God loves us more than we even understand, and his help comes basically through his word. So my main assignment over the years has been to teach faith, particularly in the area of healing. And I, you know, I've had my challenges and so on too, but that doesn't make the word untrue. The word is just as true. We're just learning to work the word, whatever terminology you want to use, to get to the point of receiving what's always belonged to us. It's not like we had to talk God into anything. These are things that he's already done. So I want to revisit Hebrews 11:1, the definition of faith. And hopefully we've learned some things over these 35 years that we can add to it. Read it together with me, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Interesting that we would get a specific definition of faith. I remember my mom and I had a conversation a lot of times about we really understood faith. Wish somebody teach on faith, which we really understood faith, and God has put this definition in the Word. And the thing is that it says four times in the Word of God that the just shall live by faith, the righteous one shall live by faith, so it's just important. Faith was never a movement for a while that's died out, not something that we just did at one time and we don't do anymore. God is still a faith God. We are faith creations of a faith God. Life is always going to be by faith. And for those that believe, life is good. Basically, we have when we believe. Those that believeth have. Those that don't believe don't have. It's already been done for us. It's just a matter of learning to believe. Think about some of the other translations here. The Amplified Bible says that. I love this, the Amplified, in this particular verse. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. And I love this phrase that they add at the end. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. A simple version in the New Century Version is faith means being sure of things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. Believe God. Brother Hagin's in his meetings would the song that they would sing in the background or the before and after and so on would be only believe, all things are possible, only believe. It's about believing God. Amen? And I think we've made some progress over the years. Obviously, we've got more to learn. I think we're becoming more specific in our understanding of what faith is. Let me read you some quotes. Jeff can put these up on the on the projector for us, because I want you to get a hold of the impact of these things, some of the things we've been reading recently. Each time I ask God to give me what he already has given me in Jesus, I am at the same time making a statement that God has not given it to me in Christ. The more passionately I seek to get what I already have, the more deeply I persuade my heart that I do not, in fact, possess it. Think about that. Each time I ask God to give me what he's already given me in Jesus, I am at the same time making a statement that God has not given it to me in Christ. The more passionately I seek to get what I already have, the more deeply I persuade my heart that I do not, in fact, possess it. Brother Hagin was teaching us years ago, don't pray over and over for the same thing. That's why. Because when I pray the second time, I'm saying I didn't get it the first time. Amen? Amen? Second quote. When the mind has been renewed to an accurate and precise knowledge of what Jesus has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection, when our heart has been fully persuaded with the facts, confession, that is saying or acknowledging this truth, will be a harmonious, natural expression of truth. It will not cause stress or any other negative reaction. It will instead bring peace and a sense of power. It will be conversational, not contrived. It will be done more in the presence of God than in the presence of people. It is not a frantic effort to get what you don't have. It's more an overflowing from a heart of what you do have. I think maybe the area of confession, I believe in confessing our faith. Scripture says, he that believes has, and also when you believe, you say, I speak because I believe. I believe because I speak. It's supposed to be tied together. And I think that it's easy to slip into, if I just keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it enough, finally God will be persuaded to do it for me. But if I should be confessing because it is done, and I'm coming in line with God, with what God wants me to know that I have. Amen? All right, now back to Hebrews 11:1. Let's look at the words again. Faith. Now faith is. I used to teach on the time span of faith is now. If you're going to believe God, the time to do it is now. If I'm going to believe, then I'm not believing. If I did believe but I stopped, when I obviously I'm not believing now. God is was it Oral Roberts used to say, God is the God of the now. One of the names for God in the Old Testament means the self-existent one, the always existing one. God is always in the now. In fact, I think that time, as far as we understand now, is not going to be time when we get out of here. It's not going to be it was and it is and it's going to be. It's going to just be somehow. I don't know how to get my mind around that now, but I know it's going to change. If you ever get afraid of thinking about eternity and how long that might be, don't be afraid, because our understanding of time is going to be different.
That's right.
When we get out of this life and into the next, praise God. Right. Faith. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says faith is a firm persuasion, a conviction based on hearing. And that's where we wander sometimes, because we want a conviction based upon seeing. And the faith that is the God kind of faith is based upon hearing. And it's a persuasion. In fact, when you look up the word faith in Strong's, you get this other number. I don't know if you ever messed around in Strong's. It's fun to look up the etymology of the words. And you go in there and you find out that the word for faith comes from a root word, and the root word just means to be persuaded. That's what faith is all about. We have faith in God because we've been persuaded about something. You sit here, hopefully, as born-again children of God this morning because you were persuaded that you didn't have to die in your sins. You didn't have to end up in hell. You could go to heaven and be with God. You could be a child of God. And you were persuaded enough to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and become born-again child of God. The root word, to induce one with words to believe. So this is why we always, the Word of God always has to be a factor, a principle in the receiving from God, because you don't see it and then believe it. You believe it and then see it. You have to hear about it from God. You have to hear what He says. You have to look into the Word and find out what He says and be persuaded by what He says that it's true. And then you begin to confess it. You begin to believe it, and it comes to pass the way it works in the kingdom of God. Amen? I was reading about a study. I went and checked this out in a website. And it said about people with low esteem. They did some kind of a test, and they wanted to see whether just making positive affirmations in itself would really change a person's disposition. So as best they could test it, they got a group of people together, and they had them make a specific positive affirmation, something like, my life's getting better and better. I don't know. They used a particular thing that was listed in a lot of self-help books, and they got the people to repeat it over and over for a few minutes or something like that. And then somehow they tested them after. They tested them before. They tested them afterward to see what their general disposition was, whether they were more of a pessimist or more of an optimist. And they found that the optimists got more optimistic and the pessimists got more depressed. That it didn't change a pessimist into an optimist, because well, I guess what it comes down to, inside, if we say something that we really don't believe, we know that we're lying to ourselves, and it hurts us more than it helps us. Now, there is a principle in there of persuading yourself. You don't believe it yet, and you're in the persuasion process of persuading. But when we just say it over and over and over, and we really know we don't believe it, we're hurting ourselves more than we're helping ourselves. And so, you know, what's happened sometimes, and it's some of the sad things that Diane and I can remember back to, when people walk away and say, there's something wrong with the message. There's nothing wrong with the message. There's something wrong with the way that we were interpreting the message and the way that we were trying to walk it out. Does confession in the Word of God work? Absolutely. But it needs to be believed on the inside. Persuasion. When we make positive affirmations we don't believe, we know we're lying to ourselves. In one of the books, in some of the things that we're reading, Dr. Richards has said, being sure of a deed, going back to one of the definitions of faith there is in the Amplified Bible, it says a confirmation or a title deed, trying to help you to understand faith, and we talked about these things before. Again, Amplified Bible, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. So, I've talked about it. When you have a deed for a house, that means that you own it. It's yours, and the proof is in the deed itself. Probably, I shouldn't have. I focused a lot on you may not live there, but you do own it. But we should be focused on the fact that we own it. That's the important part. There are things that we own. Let me be more specific. I own healing. I own health and life because it's already been provided for me in Jesus Christ. I own prosperity. I own having all my bills paid and catching up on things and being ahead of the game and financially, praise God. I own peace. Belongs to me, praise God. Been a high price was paid, and it's already been paid. I don't have to go to the bank and have my financial situation checked. It's already been paid for, praise God. So, here's what was said. Being sure of a deed that is proof of ownership, we can say, I have a deed, of course it's mine. Is it going to work? I have a deed, of course it's mine. Will you get better? I have a deed, of course it's mine. Going to get you all your bills paid? I have a deed, of course it's mine. Where's the deed? It's in that book on your lap, praise God. It belongs to you. Word of God, in my mind, in my heart, in my words. Think about this. The Word of God, my mind and my heart. Let's think about a threefold agreement. Remember the scripture in, I think it's in Ecclesiastes, that says a threefold cord is not easily broken. If we get an agreement between the Word of God, our mind and our heart, and they're unified, they're in harmony, they're in full agreement, then I've really come to the place of agreement that the Word of God talks about. Remember Matthew 18, 19? If any two agree as touching anything. I think the biggest challenge of agreement and the biggest power in agreement, even more than, you know, two of us agreeing together, is when we can get mind and heart agreeing together with what's already been established as far as God's concerned. We're not going to change the Word of God. I am the Lord, I change not, he said. That's not going to change. So if that's not going to change, then we need to get in line with that. When we sometimes have got our mind somewhat in line with that, but when we get our heart and mind in line with that, that's when things begin to come to pass. And in persuasion, see, the persuasion comes from hearing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, because it's more than just rattling off a confession. I have, and I have to admit, it's helped me some. Start a lot of days with, this is my confession, so this is what I say, and I think there's value in that. But it has to get deeper than that. It has to be meditated on. The Old Testament great men and women of God were told to meditate on the Word. Be strong in the Lord, Joshua was told. keep your word. He was told, keep the word of God in before your face day and night. Meditate on it day and night. The Old Testament focused on muttering it to yourself. The Old Testament talked about muttering it to yourself, saying it over and over again. New Testament is more the focus on meditation. The Apostle Paul talked about there are certain meditations that we need to get out of our mind and cast down. So we've learned to put off those kind of things. And there are other things that we need to put on. They're not really in our meditation, but they need to be in there purposely. So we put them in there. And when you're thinking on the right things, you begin to be persuaded. And when you're persuaded, you can believe. All right. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance means ground confidence, that which has actual existence. It actually exists. Wow, there's so many things to run through my mind all at the same time. I guess I'm going to focus someone on healing because it's more an area that I've focused in over the years, but that means that whatever it is, if you have something attacking you, whatever it is that you need to come into manifestation, we're not waiting for that to come into manifestation. In a sense, it does already exist. It's getting it to exist in you. And Brother Hagin taught us, faith always starts in the spirit. It starts in the inside. It isn't like I've got to get to heaven somehow and pull it down to me. It already exists. It's in me. And when I can receive it and believe it in my spirit, in my heart, on the inside, it's going to come to pass. The substance of things hoped for. The word hope. Confident expectation with joy. I spent a lot of time over the years trying to get us to think. Don't think hope in the sense of the way that most of us have thought about hope over the years. We've said things like, is it going to happen? Oh, I hope so. And we meant we would like it to happen. It probably won't. Our desire is that it would happen. But hope is, the Bible hope is not desire. The Bible hope is expectation. This is what's going to happen because it's already done. I'm going to have a manifestation of healing because I'm already healed. I'm going to have a manifestation of peace because peace already belongs to me. It's already in me. The finances are going to be straightened out because finances already belong to me. Prosperity belongs to me. Do you understand the difference in what I'm talking about? We've been on the surface of these things, but we really haven't dug in deep like we need to. Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means to convict, to refute a conviction, to bring to light, to expose. Something that, in other words, substance says it already exists, and the evidence says, and you're going to be able to see it. This is good news. Amen. It's going to be brought to light. There'll be a time when you see it. Praise God. Proof, that by which a thing is proved or tested. Thayer's Greek English lexicon says this, that by which invisible things are proved and we are convinced of their reality. That by which invisible things are proved and we're convinced of their reality. Same word is used in 2 Timothy 3:16. Said the word of God is God-breathed. Every scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. And one of the things it says it's profitable for is reproof, which some translations say evidence, because it's the same word. The word of God is profitable for evidence. The word of God is profitable for evidence. The word of God is profitable for evidence. And then it goes on to say things not seen. So my eyes can't see it yet, but I have evidence because it's in the word of God. I remember a long time ago sitting, there was a little college town in Pennsylvania. We were visiting, Diane and I were in a gospel singing group, and they asked us to come and spend a weekend with them, and sat down. I was trying to explain what I knew at the time to them about healing and believing God, and saying, saying to them, well, I believe I'm healed. I believe it belongs to me now. Well, where's your evidence? Well, my evidence is 1 Peter 2:24. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. My evidence is Matthew 8:16-17. Jesus bore our sicknesses, carried our sorrows, carried our pains, carried our infirmities. It's already been done. And when that becomes your evidence, then you're not dependent upon how you feel. That one of the lies that it's easy to fall prey to is, it must be working because I feel better. When I feel better, therefore it's working, then it's dependent upon when the next day when I don't feel better, then it's not working. It must be working because some extra money came in this week. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Well, then if I have a tough week, well, then it's not working. Because it's all dependent upon what's coming into manifestation. But the dependency needs to be back on the Word of God. It works. It works because it has worked. It's been worked. It's already done. And the more that we can get our heart around that and our mind to agree to that, the more it begins to come to pass. Things not seen. Even though they've been accomplished, they can't yet be seen. Not yet to be accomplished, yet to be seen. What you and I need in our life has already been accomplished. I may not have mentioned what the particular thing is that you really need this morning, but what you need has already been accomplished in Christ. When we talk about the finished work of Jesus, we're talking about it's already been done. What he's done for us in his life, death, burial, resurrection is already done. And when I can see that and believe that, those that believe have. Amen? Faith puts us in the same class as God. Brings us right up there with him. You don't think about, you know, I wonder if Jesus is going to be okay. Think God will be all right? Does he know what's happening in the government? Has he heard all those things? Has he read the paper? Man, he's probably up there worried. You don't think about God going through those things. When we see what's been done for us and see it that way as having been done, then we're doing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've taught, because Brother Hagin did such a good job of teaching us, 7 most important things about faith. And I just want to pull 2 of those back out again and just remind you of them this morning, because we're revisiting faith this morning. I think it was the first thing that he listed was every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. Is it important to know that? Probably the number one reason is because we tend to say, when I have that kind of faith, then I'll believe. Where people have said, when God gives me that faith, then I'll believe. But this is already something that's been doled out. It's been meted out. Look at these scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 12, 3. For those of you I sent the notes to, you might notice that I kind of changed the order a bit. Just to try to confuse you. No, I wasn't there. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than you ought to think. I think you could add in there, and don't think of yourself lower than you ought to think. But think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Or it could be the measure of faith. Doesn't matter. We all got some. And apparently some is a lot. Because Jesus said just a little bit, and you say to this tree, be moved. Amen. Cast in the sea. No doubt in your heart. It's going to happen. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He's introducing himself to the people that he's writing to, and he said, Simon Peter, a bondservant. You know, Peter and Paul just like being identified with Jesus. Who are you? Paul said, well, I operate as an apostle. I do different things. But you know what the important thing is? I'm a servant of Jesus. That's a big thing to say. A bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who obtained, what does it say? Like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we get that measure? By the righteousness of God. Because Jesus was righteous, and we believe in him and we receive his righteousness, then we got a measure. We have some faith. And it's not just any faith. It's a God kind of faith. I think just last week, I think Diane was mentioning in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, have faith in God, or it could be translated, have the God kind of faith. This is how it works. Say this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. When you pray, believe what you receive, and it's yours. Amen? Amen? Works, praise God, because we have that kind of faith. Because, you know, I've had conversations with my mom recently, and she'll say, she's probably going to listen to this, son. Hey, Mom. Go. But she's talked about, ooh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. She's talked about, you know, because we read Smith Wigglesworth, we read Brother Hagin, and we think, my goodness, I wish I had faith like that. We have faith like that. Amen. That's the kind of faith we have. Amen. They have learned to use theirs, praise God. But it's not a matter we got some secondary quality or quantity or something like that. We got the best stuff. We just got to make use of it. Amen. I love you, Mom. Every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. Secondly, this faith is of the heart and not the head. Maybe if we're going to take those seven and move them down to two principles that we really need to get a hold of. Every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. And this faith is of the heart and not of the head. Probably more people have just got it in the head and never really got it in their heart. Romans 10:10. It just, you know, it really clearly says these things. It's just a matter of taking time to read them. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, understand, it could be read this way. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto healing. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto prosperity. Salvation is all those inclusive, all those things that we needed that were made available to us in Christ Jesus. All those things are already ours. They're made available for us in Christ Jesus, already done. So our part is to believe with the heart. With the heart, confession is made. And with the heart, one believes. With the mouth, confession is made. All right? You probably don't have to turn there. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Isn't that one of the verses that the kids have been doing recently? Did I see that on the board in there? In the New Living Bible, it reads this way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. Amen. Or the way that we've learned, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think of, when I read those, I think of the man who brought his young son to Jesus. And Jesus wasn't there at the time. He was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And so the rest of the disciples were there, and they were trying to help this kid and weren't able to do it. And so in frustration, he's going through all this. And Jesus comes down off the mountain. A lot of great things are happening all at the same time. Apparently, he was still glowing somewhat, which would certainly get your attention from the Transfiguration. But he comes, and the man comes up to Jesus and said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they weren't able to help him. And so Jesus said to him, well, what's going on? And he said, well, the demons are giving him a hard time, throwing him into fire and water. If you can help us, he said, if you can help us, help us. And Jesus, in the original language, it goes like this: if I can help you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm getting around it with my head. It's not in my heart. Help me. How many of you prayed that prayer to God? I've done that a few times, and I think it's not wrong when you know that that's where you are. Lord, help me get it in my heart. Understand it somewhat with my head, but it's not understanding with my head. It's understanding with my heart. It's getting it in my heart. Faith is not of the head. It's of the heart. So it gets down through the mind, but it has to be meditated into the heart. It has to be this principle of meditation has to be acted upon before to really get to that depth of heart where the things that we're learning just recently, spending some quiet time before God and getting our physical bodies to shut up and getting our natural mind to shut up and getting quiet before God, because meditation isn't a quick process. I think we can receive from God driving in the car and doing other things, but there has to be that time of focus. And I understand we live in a time when that's difficult. But if you want to operate this way, if you want to operate the way that God wants you to, if you want to have manifestation of the things that God has already done for you, we've got to find a way to get this into our lives. Amen? Everybody gets 24 hours a day. Every believer has a measure of the God kind of faith. This faith is of the heart and not the head.